The following is a presentation of the Control Trends Podcasting Network.
Welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast with Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist. Control Talk Now, your source for control news you can use. And now, here is Eric.
Recording is going. All right, 1, 2, 3, boom, boom, boom. Hi, welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings video cast and podcast for the week ending February 24th, 2019. This is episode 304, where we try to give you control news you can use, primarily around the smart building controls, but we also do sensors, we do HVAC, and not only that, the man, the myth, the legend will most likely give you a vocab lesson today, or at least a pronunciation lesson, one of the two. So without further ado, let's introduce your co-host and mine, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers, the Renaissance man from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show, Big Dog.
Well, thank you very much, Eric. I'll get over that one day, but then when you start on that little man, myth, legend thing, I get the heebie-jeebies because I'm thinking, here we go again. I got to get my
I get my
A game together, you know. So
you got to own it, buddy. You got and there's a method to my madness, man. Because I watch you when I do that. You sort of sit up a little straighter. You get that glint in your eyes. And I know Kenny's got his game face on.
If there is such a thing, I'll bring it. Yeah, it's been a great week in the HVAC building automation world. There's been a lot of exciting announcements. We have some great things to talk about in terms of developing technology and integration. And really, we're going to take a massive deep dive into something that we're really, really excited about because it could be the next single greatest innovation impacting our society and our smart, intelligent, connected buildings.
Right. So let's not give it away. You got to listen a little bit further before we get there. But I also think, Kenny, along that, I could completely agree with you. I think it is like the business opportunity of a lifetime if you're in smart building controls or do building automation controls. And like every great opportunity, the people that get out in front of it and help promote it are the people that are going to reap the advantages. There's a thing called first mover advantage that you look at any trend and the people that move first dominate that market. It's not even close to the people that take the second move in that. So as you listen to this show, when we get to this piece, and you'll know it because you'll go, holy smokes. And like all great opportunities, it might seem a little nuts. It might seem like, well, people aren't going to do this. But I think when Kenny presents this, you are going to go, oh my gosh, this is it. So we're going to encourage you to, hey, you know, take that idea, run with it, because I think our industry, smart building controls, can lead this charge, or we can be subjugated. There you go, Kenny. I'm using the vocab word right off the bat, to some other industry, like those out of Silicon Valley or whatever, that are trying to eat our lunch. Or we can lead, and no offense to our friends.
They go with computer geeks, the pencil.
Let's just go with this. Those innovative characters in Silicon Valley that changed the way we live and how we do things. And I'm a victim of that, as you are too, if you use a smartphone or a computer or whatever. So I am asking our industry, hey, let's get in front of this and let's be the ones that lead this charge.
Okay,
Kenny, without further ado, let's tell our community a little about what's going on. First of all, set the problem up. What is the problem we're all facing in our society? And hopefully it doesn't happen too much, but you hear about it far too much. So set the problem up, Kenny.
All right, Eric. Well, I'll tell you what it is. We don't get the chance to pick when bad things happen. They pick us. And so the frame that you're looking for was that, you know, we have a very interesting presentation on the active shooter solutions. So we now can take one of the massive problems, one of the massive challenges facing us as a society, as an open door society, as a first punch society, and do something about it. And it's called the active shooter solution. So my big exciting event this week was I attended a webinar that was put on by a joint effort from the Senior Vice President of Sales and Shooter Detection Systems and the Business Development Manager at Honeywell Commercial Security. So we have Shooter Detection Systems and Honeywell have worked together to put together what I think might be the latest, you know, tip of the spear technology to deal with crises prevent them, and then deal with them. So in other words, the four D's of security were deter. The concept was you can't send, you can't stop crime, but you can send it somewhere else. So you harden your facility, you harden your residents. Two is detect. So if something does happen, somebody makes an attack or does whatever, you detect it immediately. The third one is to delay. So you create layers of security, whether they're physical impediments or locks and door closures, automatic threat level management where it shuts things down. So you delay, and then, of course, a lot of people say the fourth D has changed, but it used to be detain. That was let the law enforcement come in and wrap up the job and take the bad guys away. So the reality is that the incidents that have occurred in the United States, there's been 250 active shooter incidents in the United States from 2000 to 2017. And we've got some very gruesome, grim, whatever you want to call it, statistics on where it happened, how it happened. So education, government, residents, health crime facilities, health care facilities, houses of worship, and businesses. And quite honestly, Eric, we now have technology that we can put in place as we get money, as the states and what we call the mush markets, municipalities, universities, schools, and hospitals, budget money. It's got to put some time and energy and money into these preventive measures and also the active measures that when something happens, we're going to discuss here a little bit later on the criticality of seconds. And then we're going to have another very important concept to share with what are your choices? What can you do? And then where do you go? So we have a very interesting, probably 30-minute review of this threat level Great. Management webinar and this active shooter webinar.
Well, fantastic. So first of all, I want to acknowledge Roger Rebenak from Jackson Controls. Roger used to be with, Honeywell, worked with their access and security. So props, major props to Roger, because I think he put this together. But again, what Kenny's saying and what I'm hearing is that unfortunately, far too often we hear about these horrendous, shooting things that happen like at schools or whatever. And the challenge is, one of the big challenges is that when the first responders arrive, they don't know where the shooters are, right, Kenny? So that's a huge piece. So basically what we're talking about here is some technology, some sensor technology, right, Kenny, that can be combined with the building automation system that can give first responders critical information that can save lives.
Right. Okay. So I mean, I'll go probably, I'm not in a very specific order because like you say, this discussion points are probably more important. People learn and hear what they want to hear out of a webinar, but time saves lives. Okay. So how do you save lives? And how do you give the first responders, they call breadcrumbs, where's the bad guy at? How do you give the in-house staff, the teachers, they're all connected now with the, all the technology we have, all the smart devices. If you have something in place that says shooter, shots detected, some sort of a notification. Imagine every single person in the facility, whether it's a mall, church, hospital, now realize there's a problem. And you can give immediate information to run. So where to run and what direction not to run in. Some of the crazy stuff that happens is when people can't determine the noise. I mean, one of the most important things that I learned in this webinar was that the human ear can't distinguish between a backfire of a motor, an engine, a door slamming, or a low caliber or high caliber weapon.
Let's think about that for a minute. So you're saying theoretically, if the human ear can't make that distinction, teacher could be in a classroom, somebody could fire a shot, and she's thinking it's a car backfiring or maybe a door slamming, so they don't react. Is that what you're
saying? Precisely. Wow. So they don't. We don't have the acoustic training. We don't have. We don't have the technology. Available to us. And quite frankly, is that I was in the military 9 years and worked in security, an additional five. And you get accustomed to it. Some people that are around those things can tell right away what it is. They know. I mean, there's some, these law enforcement guys and these, the federal police and all these guys that shoot all the time or maintain weapons certifications, they can distinguish it, sure. But yeah. The average person that doesn't, hear it often doesn't realize what it was because it comes and goes so quick and it takes you. So the problem is that you didn't realize there's an immediate emergency. You think there's right. something, you got this like sixth sense off in your stomach saying, what the heck was that?
Right. Now, Kenny, and you know more about guns than I do, but you said something else and so, I mean, when a shot is fired, is it also difficult to determine where it's coming from?
Exactly. Yeah.
So people could be running right to the shooter instead of away from the shooter.
Precisely. So, again, this it was an amazing webinar. So I'm just going to cherry pick on some of the things. But to go to that point, there's a concept that Roger and his team, and by the way, you mentioned Roger, but he's got a great team already building there. He's got Charles Wolf, he's got Josh Langford, and some other guys that are really and truly investing a significant amount of time and energy. And people that are in the integration business now can contact those guys at Bass, at Jackson Control, and through their local distributors too. So anybody that's selling Niagara, for sure, because this is a Niagara-based integration, can now start to think about what can we do next year's budget, where do we go, how much does this cost. In fact, one of the most important things they talked about was the principles of design. What we must do is an exceptional needs assessment.
Kenny, let me just hold on, because you said something that's key here, because right. I know Roger has been very adamant about that this goes through your local distributor. So you don't want to be contacting Bass Controls direct unless you're working with them already, unless you're one of their integrators. Mm-hmm. But the key piece for Kenny is, you want more information on this, the filter is your local distributor, which is great news because you already got a great working relationship with them, and your distributor will be get trained, will become the first level of support. So step one is, if you want more information on this, reach out to your local distributor, say, hey, we heard Eric and Ken talk about this active shooter thing. We want to know more about it. Your local distributor get hold of Raj and the team and go.
Right, right. Because obviously you're going to have an ecosystem. You're going to have to have this thing to develop. To your point, the scale that this could occur could be enormous. This could be exponential growth.
And the speed at which it will occur.
Right.
Because so once it gets out, because one last thing, you know me, I'm interrupting you. I'm heavily caffeinated today, folks, so watch out. But, one group that I could see getting behind this right away is the NRA, right? Because those guys get badmouthed every time something like this happens. They want to take away their gun. So if you're in the NRA, pay attention. Get your group involved with saying, hey, this needs to be legislated into the schools. And that's one way we could get the ball rolling. But back to you, Ken.
Well, yeah. So again, that's why I knew this. We're going to kind of bounce around, and that's good. Because I think what you do is you need to have an idea of what's available, a good assessment. So we're going to go back into the principles of design, and then the procurement system, how to budget or whatever, and then the training and certification. This is not in the shallow event. This is a commitment, but the great thing about it is it integrates into what you've already have. It leverages your existing, it extends your networks, your Niagara network, to add additional things. Now, there's smart people out there that probably already have this and they already have access to it. Because, these things have been on the market for a while. The military first developed it. DARPA actually funded it way back when. There's a slide on how many, how long this is there. It's proven technology. In fact, it's fail-safe technology. It's one of the few technologies that doesn't have any false starts. It began back in the 1990s with DARPA, a federal research project. Goes all the way through to the most recent boomerang spectrum in critical infrastructure. So we're talking $45 million worth of research and development, $500 million in systems deployed worldwide, and it has the lowest false alarm rate in the industry. So there's over 18,000 systems in use and hasn't had a false alarm yet.
Well, Kenny, walk me through how the sensor actually works, because, that's kind of the core of it, right? The heart of it is the sensor, and then our part is putting it together with a system. But how does the sensor typically work?
It's really cool. It has a dual factor authentication. So it has microphones that listen for weapon muzzle blast. It has an infrared sensor that looks for muscle flash signatures. It has the Guardian sensor that validates the acoustic bang and also looking for the infrared flash. So it's kind of a dual phenomenology. The key features is immediate and accurate alerting, 1 second, less than 1 second. There's no triangulation required, so it knows just by the sound of it. So most times you have to get 3 points, and then you can find out where the sensor occurs with 2 of the reference points. This thing, as soon as it goes off, it knows exactly where it is. No calibration required. Detects low caliber, 0.22 caliber, and higher weapons. It's a proven mature product. It's installed and integrated with leading-edge technologies. It has zero false alerts. So the Guardian is the only gunshot detection product that is a Safety Act certified, and it has all the bona fides. It's got the United States government, It's got the United Kingdom government. It's got the Australian government. It's got, you know, tested by the shooter detection system, FCC and UL standards. So this is the real thing. You know, this is not a crapshoot. This is a real detection system that works.
Sort of, what's the opportunity for our team, our systems integrators?
Well, you know, again, we have the ability to influence people. So again, returning back to the what they call the principles of security design, what we must do. So there's four musts, okay? We must do an exceptional needs assessment job with a focus saving time where you depend on an employee to detect and alert, think analytics and integration, build a system that removes the human delay in reporting violent incidents to law enforcement. We need a way to get the law enforcement to our buildings faster and get them internally more accurate. Where's the bad guy? And where people should be running to and not into a bad situation. We must communicate faster and effectively across multiple devices and platforms. And we must, as an industry, must understand the problem before we can offer a solution. So, physical barriers, locks, intrusion detection systems are all part of the real solution. This is an additional element to it, because the bottom line was that we 95% of the normal activities that occur in all the buildings or whatever are peaceful, and the schools and workplace designs are sufficient. But there's 5% that are vulnerable, that we're vulnerable to a potential attack. And it says we'll all be judged on that 5%. So again, it's like the backseat driver or the Monday morning quarterback, what we could have, should have done. So the concept is, we're part of that media network. We're part of that portal of information, that when we see something new coming down the pike that really and truly makes sense, and you need to grab anybody that's an influencer, part of the influence, the team that makes decisions. If they're aware of this, they're going to say, I want that too. I want that in my school district. I want that in my campus, university. I want that in my hospital. I want that in my clinic. Is this something we could add on? How much is it? Who's my local pro? Who's my technician that's certified? And so there it goes back to that channel you're talking about. So we're talking about a beginning point of something that was kind of esoteric or military related, and rightfully so, because they had the money and funding and the need to do it. But now this technology is available, we could see it snowball into all the other industries that we relate to, all the smart, connected, intelligent buildings. Right. This is part of that intelligence.
No, and dude, I think to me it's a game changer in the sense of how you go to market. So think about if you're an integrator or mechanical contractor or even a distributor. I mean, you typically go in, the specs are written, you got to meet the specs, and or retrofit, they're kind of going, well, we don't have the money in the budget. But see, this to me is a budget busting type thing. Can you imagine if you go in and you present this to any of the aforementioned customer sets and say, oh, by the way, we have this and we can add it into your system, and this is what it's going to do. It's going to protect you. Can you imagine somebody turning that down, and then heaven forbid there's an incident and they were presented with something that could prevent this or at least save lives? I mean, it is bad PR. It's bad, bad optics. So I think you have that going on your side, because I think they're not going to want to hear about it, because once they hear about it, I don't think you can not act on it. And again, we're not foreseeing doom or whatever, a gloom, and we're hoping it never happens. But I think that, again, getting back to what I said at the beginning of the show, first mover advantage, if you're the one who goes in and talks to a school board or a hospital or any of these people about this, hey, we have a way to do this, then I think it's going to give you it's going to be a game changer. They'll find money in the budget. And since it's primarily a bolt-on, Kenny, it's something that you can retrofit. To me, it seems like it's a retrofit play more than anything else.
The crazy thing is that in Pittsburgh, of all places, I mean, no one would ever thought that the Tree of Life synagogue in Squirrel Hill, Pittsburgh, which, 10, 11 miles from my house right here. My dentist was one of the guys that got shot, my ex-dentist. Mm-hmm. So, this really brought it home to me. I'm disturbed. Every time we drive by the exit, there's still a ton of the flowers, and the mourning is continuing. It's not all healed. It's not all better. And so the question is, what do you do about it? See, and that's where it really gets, that's where it gets sticky.
So if one of our integrators is out there and wants to explain this to one of their potential customers, they ask the question, what are you doing for security? Sort of, what exactly does this do? and what are the three key benefits of it? We know that the ultimate benefit is it helps save lives, but how does it do that?
Okay, that's a great question. And, you know, again, I'm going to just go kind of, you know, scroll back on this concept. Safety. So the active shooter program, it basically requires the installation of shot detection sensors, these ballistic sensors that you put in certain areas of your facility, your mall, your school, whatever. And it's probably mostly likely, you know, in the hallways or whatever. So what it's going to do is it has a sensing radius. And this is primarily for indoor. This is only for indoors, by the way, what we're talking about here. They do have an outdoor version, but it's not what we're talking about here. So basically, safety-wise, it provides an early alert to people in the building that lets them know if they should run or barricade themselves. Two, first response, the police SWAT teams that are quickly notified with accurate information. There's a statistic that I'm going to go to next that provides them accurate information. They arrive on scene and know exactly where the shot was fired. So they know they don't come into a building and start at the west and work their way east. They come right to closest access point to the trouble spot. And liability. In active shooter incidents, lawsuits are quite common in the event that they occur. You need to prove that you have done everything possible you can to mitigate the loss of life. So that's another kick in the butt that, you know, people have to, you know, consider. And I tell you what, facility managers, their jobs, you know, the technology's more rampant and they get more opportunities to grab data, but the job itself gets more complicated because we live in such a litigious society that you don't know. It's not just to worry about the snow and somebody slipping on the sidewalk anymore. It's about what do we do with the money we had? How intelligently did we spend it? And did it give us the greatest, you know, coverage of life safety and whatever? But the information to get to what you're saying is what it does is it gives you time and actionable intelligence. So what is it? Is it a loud noise versus a gunshot? Where was the first shot? So it's a timeline. Where's the shooter now? So it gives you location movement. Who's the shooter? If you have cameras, you know, it linked into this, integrated with it, then you've got a visual description. And how many shooters? Is it a, you know, coordinated attack or is it a lone wolf? And what this does then, the time, active shooter incident, every second counts. So 5 to 7 minutes is the average length of an active shooter incident. 3 minutes is the average response time in urban areas. 5 to 15 seconds is the average, loss of life during the active shooter incident. So what happens here then is the alerting goes from being, it's an incredible statistic. Imagine that, you know, it takes up to 13 to 17 minutes for the police to be notified. So 13.5 to 18 minutes without the Guardian system. So you have the command notified, you have 911, you have a pull video, you have a PA announcement, all radio call, mass notification message. This takes approximately 13.5 to 18 minutes. With the active shooter response, it's 5 seconds to go to mass notification message to the entire facility, 100% confirmation if it was a real ballistic firing, instant command center notification to the police and to the school, you know, the principal's office, to the facility manager's office, real-time intel collection, and then immediate police 911 notification. And then they've got the other, you know, just a whole bunch of other supplementally, you know, benefits from it. You know, the breadcrumb things. They know the direction the guy went. They could tell the people to go to the other, you know, we have a, you know, whatever in the east wing, the west wing closes down. Everybody can do the, and it's a terrible diagram, but it's really fundamentally valuable in the fact that when the S hits the fan, you know, and something like this happens, you've got three options. You can run and escape if possible. You can hide if escape is not possible, and then fight only as a last resort. So that's a pretty, you know, deplorable, you know, group of choices there. But my brother, David, and his friend are into the, they opened one of these IMAX, or these new, it's a weapon training facility, but it also does defense, self-defense, it has karate schools and whatever. But they put some interesting facts up too about what to do in a worst case scenario. And I was very surprised. They had a military SEAL commando guy that was really, you know, crafty in saving his life and probably taking lives. But he said that there's a mentality. There's like 3 seconds and 4 seconds. If you do something within so many seconds, your chances of survival are increased, you know, 50%. I don't brave that thing here on the show or anything, but we're now learning about stuff that it wasn't accessible to the common man because it was more of a military or law enforcement, you know, study or training. But now because of all the incidents that are occurring, now we're not forecasting an increase in anything, but what again, the message, I think, if I had to summarize it in the final sentence or two, is look at this very seriously. The technology is available. We now have a channel that's developing that we can help get this thing done. And if it fits, if the shoe fits, wear it, you know, take ownership of it.
Well, and I would add on to that. I don't think there's a question of if this technology would be adopted. It's just a question of who's going to reap the benefits from installing it. And again, it sounds like we can come right back through our front end systems. Our systems integrators are integrating everything else. It seems like this is not a stretch for you to be the person doing it, because we keep talking about single pane of glass. So if it's not us, then it's probably going to be the ADD people or somebody like that that's already doing security, and they're probably going to add something on there, and you're going to have a separate system. And it's sort of a missed opportunity. But I think the key point, Kenny, is this is a concept that needs to be sold. And I don't think you're going to sell this to the facility manager's space necessarily. I think this is an opportunity for you as a systems integrator to visit the C-suite with this opportunity. Because, I think whoever brings this to the people that make the decision are the people that are going to get to do that work. And if you don't believe that that's a concept, ask Scott Cochran from Cochran Supply. I mean, you know, he has taken his business to a whole new level by talking about solutions and not necessarily responding to specifications, but working with the owners to make them aware of what's available. And it's a huge business strategy. It's a huge marketing strategy. And the people that adopt this in this time of new technology are going to fare very, very well.
Well, and like you said, yeah, he gives to before the specification process begins, you know. So, but I don't want to oversimplify something, too. I get excited, and I, in other words, it's not magic. It requires, you know, some ground level work. You got to do pre-sales demos and surveys, develop security plan based on the customer needs requirements, design engineering. So that's where, you know, having the expertise and going through the training and certification, working with qualified partners. And then project management, you know, in support of the integrator, and have the involvement of the end user. And eventually that'll be their system, and they have to own it and want it and look after it. There'll be ongoing support and maintenance too. One thing that we're learning in this world, to me, the first really baptism of it was the software maintenance agreements that we got involved with that make so much sense to me now. When it first came out, I was like, oh, man, just, you know, how are we going to add this on? But now I realize that by selling the software maintenance agreement, it alleviates me of being the guy that's holding up, you know, the patches and the interest in the thing. The problem is when we put systems in the past, we'd put them in and forget them. It was like buying a washing machine or a refrigerator. You plugged it in, put the stuff in, and the only time you didn't know it worked well is when you came out and there was water on the floor or something, you know, and then it was there. That mentality has to be reconfigured, retooled. We have to really understand that we have living systems, and these software maintenance programs are vital to the health of the network. And you cannot be the weak link. You must get involved. You must do your patches. You must comply, because you know it's the only way that you can get the latest and greatest add-ons. You know, every day we work with the NIST releases, and every day Google, Microsoft, Apple—they're constantly injecting new defense measures and fixes and patches into their worlds, and you need to link it. I mean, how many times does your phone want to do an upgrade on you? How many times you turn on your computer and Microsoft wants to do another download because they're putting those builds into your computer software to protect you? Of course, you know, they might be listening to things like, how about the latest and greatest scandal we had where somebody was putting microphones in the equipment and sell it to them.
And that's thermostats, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
I never trusted my Nest thermostat. I had Nest thermostats at the old house. Never trusted it. I think it always looked like it was listening. It would change colors and stuff like that. Just really, really spooky thing. But okay, let's sort of summarize this, because I think that this is a great opportunity. I think it's a trend we're going to see. Certification training, again, you know, the steps are, if you're interested, reach out to your local distributor. They'll coordinate you with Roger Rebenack and the team at Bass, and then we can get you, I mean, I guess the certification training comes through them.
Yeah. Well, okay. Then we got to go back and just the ProWatch ecosystem. So to give all the credit to the shooter detection systems and to the Honeywell, you know, ProWatch, and just to give you an idea of the integration, what's going on, you have access management, gunshot detection systems, now information management, intrusion management, video integration, physical integration, API web services, visitor management, compliance, reporting measurement, and operating environments. So when you talk about integration on some of these world-class deployments, you know, where there's been like, you know, whatever, an industry or a mall, some of the new things where they actually have this in place, they have done the groundwork for us. They put the foundation. And what we're going to see is probably in the economy of scale, we're going to see this thing scaled down to smaller environments, smaller installations, smaller footprints. So you're going to have to go through a channel to gain access to the product line. Get the Niagara folks involved that can help you integrate it, even though I don't think the integration itself is that difficult for the shooter detection system. But it's a integration of an entire building ecosystem. You know, the entire intelligence of the building now becomes one, so that you have your threat level management. So if something does happen, it does everything. Turns the lights on. It prevents all the doors from opening unless it's an emergency egress. You know, it turns the building into one turn smarter, one turn friendlier for the people that it's supposed to protect and safeguard, and one turn unfriendlier to the bad guys that are trying to do something they shouldn't be.
Well, very cool. And again, you can reach out to your local distributor to find out more about that. I think we're going to, like I said before, we're going to see more of this. I think the underlying trend, Kenny, and we sort of started it last week with talking about Siemens and Distech and Johnson Controls and how they're sort of bundling differently to differentiate. And I think that as a master systems integrator or distributor, you're going to need to differentiate by taking solutions like this and getting in front of the bus, as opposed to waiting for this to filter down and then you take advantage of it. So good stuff. Well done, Kenny. Appreciate that. Anything else you want to add before we move on? You're on mute, buddy.
Hats off to, again, Jackson Control and Roger. Roger was always, you know, the leader in security integration, always was a champion of extending that Niagara network. And you know, me as a former CPP, which was a American Society of Industrial Security, had what they called a certified professional profession certification, which I had and lost because I was unable to maintain my CEUs and I got into building automation. It was one or the other. But I knew inherently from my experience in security that it had to be integrated, really truly integrated, because it belongs there. It's, you know, every bit as important as the boiler and the generator and the chiller and whatever. It belongs into that really integrated echo structure and system of a building, because it can do so much, and it needs that information as important, as vital as any other you know, siloed information. Or, you know, just tying all the doors and elevators and lights. I mean, it's just amazing what you can do now inside a building if you have the right approach and take, right, you know, take this thing for what it's worth. It really works. It really, Roger has, the final thing is we're going to put a LinkedIn video that Roger Rebenack posted on LinkedIn. And it's only a minute or whatever, but he put it up yesterday, I believe, and it's already got 141 views and likes. But he does it for, you know, it's a 2 minute and, a 1 minute and 17 second video where he shows it in his office, how it's that, you know, it's there. So we're going to put that on the post, maybe as a link, so that people can watch that. And then a picture video says 1,000 words.
Yeah, check it out for sure. And speaking of amazing, Kenny, I want to take a minute and thank our YouTube audience. You know, you may or may not know this, but with Control Trends, we go through several different outlets. So, you know, we got the podcasting, which that's where most of our information is consumed, goes through like iTunes, Stitcher Radio, all that kind of stuff. We obviously have the website, the controltrends.com website. We go through Vimeo, we go through Daily Motion, you know, you name them. We put our content in a lot of different places. And I want to thank our YouTube audience, because it was about, I think it was less than a year ago, Kenny, I was checking the stats, and I don't pay that much attention to the stats, but we, and you and I talked about it on one of the shows, we had just gone over a million views. Okay. And like I said, that was about a year or so ago, maybe less. I was checking the stats this morning, Kenny. We have gone, we're at 2,192,049 views as wow. of this recording. We have gone from 6,000 subscribers, again, 3 or 4 months ago. And I checked this morning and the subscribers, there's 8,814 subscribers now to the Control Trends YouTube channel. So again, thank you very, very much to our community. We appreciate you. Like I said, don't check the stats. Awesome. But boy, that sure did make me feel good when I looked at it this morning.
Indeed. Great growth. Congratulations. So
great, great growth. Okay. Which sort of brings us to, you know, something else I wanted to point out. I wanted to give a shout out to somebody. We're going to do the shout outs here in a minute, but I wanted to take this individual and put the spotlight on it. Because again, one of the trends we're seeing is you sort of have to reinvent yourself, be you a manufacturer, be you a distributor, be you a systems integrator. And one of the great ways to do this is through social media. So ACI has hired a guy named Dylan Rolke. And Dylan has started to create content for ACI. As a matter of fact, you know, we put the video up, so you saw it. You went to Control Trends last week. You saw it on the WPR2 wet-to-wet differential transmitter, sort of showing how that goes, can work with a VFD. And, you know, hats off to Dylan. This is top shelf production. And it's interesting because, you know, one of the things that you and I talked about a couple of years ago, Kenny, one of the books we read was the number one position in a lot of these companies. Now, they're not hiring MBAs as much, but they're paying masters of fine art. They're like GE's hiring poets and things like that to come in. And the reason they're doing it is because you can't build the products a whole lot better. You can't build them a whole lot less expensive. I mean, you can do some tweaks there, but it's really the aesthetic. People are buying the aesthetic. Apple's a great example of that. So these Fortune 100 companies now are hiring poets and masters of fine arts to create that aesthetic, that special feel, that special look, that it factor that you can't always, you know, consciously pick up on. So our friend, Dylan, guess what his degree is in?
Philosophy.
Masters of Fine Arts. And it shows. When you see this video, there's just a certain little extra there. So I applaud ACI. I think they're going to differentiate themselves through some of their media here. This is top, top shelf, Dylan. So congratulations. Hats off to you. Hats off to the team at ACI. And we'd love to get you on the show sometime. So there you go, Kenny.
Well, they do a great job. And, you know, the marketing folks are the unsung heroes in many cases. Sometimes they get front light and, you know, front stage, front and center stage with the stage lights on them. But we have learned and followed and we have profound respect for people that are really good at marketing. It's like, you know, I think you always say too, the starting point is great products. The starting point is great engineering. But how you tell the story is what separates the success levels between right. all these people that provide the same or similar services. So right. again, marketing is not a lost art. Marketing is an evolving, you know, skill that, you know, I agree with everything you said. So
right.
I
always which to your point, Kenny, incorporates all the marketing principles that if anybody's in marketing knows they've been trained in that, but it also includes a new skill set, which is, you know, how to create YouTube videos and stuff like that. And as such, Kenny and I, again, most of our content is consumed via the podcast. Podcasting is a way that people are consuming more and more information. Kenny and I have created a site called the Control Trends Podcasting Network. And we're to the point now where we want to offer this opportunity to our listeners, be you a manufacturer, be you a contractor. We can produce, edit, put the EQ on it, and help promote your podcast. So if that's of interest to you, reach out to us. And again, it's a great way because, you know, the big thing that's changed, Kenny, and you know this as well as I do, is you have to go to try to find customers, okay, which is the most expensive thing you'll do in your business. Sending salespeople out to go cold call is so expensive, primarily because people don't have time and they don't have attention to give to people, and they really don't have time to see them. You have to have great salespeople so that if you know somebody needs to see one of your people, they can get there and they can do the deal. So we're not negating that. But the second piece, and rapidly becoming a big piece, Kenny, is you have to be easily found. That means you got to have a great website, you got to have great content, and you should probably have a podcast on the Control Trends Podcasting Network.
Bingo.
Well, all right, brother.
Shout outs. I'll tell you what, I've been sitting here jumping in my seat, ready to go.
Let's do the shout outs.
Well, we have one big one. We've got a happy birthday, Ted Houck at Hepta Systems.
Happy birthday, Ted.
Ted, I think, turned 45 today. So
he's older than that, man. Come on. Come on.
He's getting younger every year. Come on. We got some other shout outs. Congratulations to Jason King for 1 year at Hayes Mechanical Systems. Congratulations to Joe Riley for 15 years at Long Building Technologies. Eric Dunn is doing a great job. He's got a lively post going on Intesis integration and the different integration gateways they have for the new equipments, the mini splits, and it's a great post. Go to LinkedIn and catch that one. We've got congratulations to Doug Miller, lead AP for starting a new position at Vice President of Sales at KMC Control.
Hey, congratulations, Doug. He's moving on up, man. And what was the guy's name from Hayes Mechanical? Because Hayes is from Macon. They're actually a customer of Stromquist & Company.
His name is Jason King.
Jason King. All right, buddy. We appreciate your guys' business. I hate to tell you this on your birthday, but you guys are under quota. You need to buy more stuff from Stromquist.com. Okay, who else do you have, Kenny?
We have Charmaine Nickerson, CEM, for starting a new position at Siemens Niagara N4 TCP Instruction Services at Siemens. And we've got some great followers there, and Cal Badge and some others. They mentioned liked our posts and everything, and the thing we did with Ken St. Clair, not too bad. And got a couple other shout outs. You remember Fearless Phil Zito?
Oh, I do remember Fearless Phil.
Well, Fearless Phil got he's moving and grooving. He did a very nice post article on the engineered systems that I was really impressed because I'm doing something on the open protocols versus open systems. We have a presentation at the AEE luncheon this Thursday coming up, and basically. The world is catching on because these guys are electrical engineers. They're really smart folks. They run a lot of the automation buildings and NAEP, the National Association of Physical Engineers, or plant engineers. I'm sorry. So these guys they keep up with everything, but they want to know what's going on with Niagara again. They want to know about the choices and options, because we see these. The walls that used to be this big between automation, industrial applications, and commercial, residential, all these, the lines are getting smaller and smaller because it's all about data. So it's very interesting to see people from neighboring industries really taking a deep look at what's going on with the different offerings we have primarily through HVAC and building automation. But so Phil's on a He did a good job here. He does a discussion of technology. So he's really big. Yeah, for people who don't know, BAM, Building Automation Monthly, is Phil's mainstay. He connects with I don't know how many thousands of people, but he's doing very well as a trainer. But what he does is he once upon a time took a position where he was responsible for over $250 million worth of integration at a branch level, major player Johnson. And now he's come out on his own and he trains. But he explains too about open protocols, about how do we resolve the issue where people don't understand. You can have an open protocol and it could still be closed down at some point where you have to have something that's not open, so that so he explains in depth how you resolve it. And then the cool thing about it is he puts the economic argument there. So basically he's talking about procurement and what the BAS protocols and how you don't want to get tricked. You want to know, you do your homework, do your due diligence, and make sure that if you're looking for an open system and not just an open protocol, there's a difference between the two of them.
Right. Well, I tell you what, it's been a while since we had Phil on the show. I know Phil listens. Phil, we'd love to get you on the show, and maybe we can just have Phil be a guest. on the show. And speaking of guest Kennys, next week we have Ken Sinclair will be on. We'll be talking about his March issue, which is going to be disruption or something like that. He's such a
no, I haven't. I got it, man. I'll tell you what. He gave us an automated intelligence with an autonomous interaction. Let me say that again. Automated intelligence with autonomous interactions. He really is taking this thing now. He's got what AI and artificial intelligence seems to be trialed at the top of everything these days. But I feel we are a long way from its true definition. And so we got a nice preview of what's going on. And it's going to be very worthwhile for our next week's interview. So cool. Thank you.
So we've got upcoming interviews with Brian Turner, Scott Cochran coming up, John Donahue. And if you'd like to be a guest on our show, we're filling out the schedule for March and April. So if you'd like to be a guest on our show, we typically cut the shows on Friday afternoon with our guest, and then Kenny and I'll flesh our part out on the weekend. But if you'd like to be a guest, there's a cool little thing you can just click on, and it'll take you to where you can put your name and email. Yep. We reach back. And do we ever check that, Kenny? Because I know I'm off about checking the emails. Do you check that periodically?
I check the control trends. Yes, I do.
Okay, cool.
All right, Kenny. I have not seen anything on the yeah.
No.
One more shout out, though. One more shout out.
Well, I've got one after you got one, so you go ahead with yours.
Okay, this was one of my favorite this week. Today, our mayor and city council members came into our office. They congratulated us on us receiving the Control Trends Awards in the USA. EZIO cannot survive without the support and work of our employees. These tireless efforts helped us deliver solutions to our partners who desire quality and solutions to help them manage their building portfolios more efficiently and cost effectively. Anyhow, it's Johan Schakelrod. He's in his Holland office, and he has an award handed to him. It's a framed picture of him receiving the award with Kimberly Brown and Mark Petok. And it is an amazing smiley picture with a representative from the mayor's office.
Is it possible for us to post that on Control Trends?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll put it in the post. And, dude, we are going to be in Holland, man. So, you know, if you're from the U.S., we say this every year, the EZIO Global Conference is so friggin' rocking. I mean, these guys, you'll learn a lot. You'll meet integrators from all around the world. But these guys, they will show you one of the best times you've ever had. And if not, Mike Marshall will give me and Kenny the key to a bus, and we'll take you all across Holland. And Kenny, you know, has got security connections from his times in the military service. So if you get thrown in jail, he can get you out. So
no, I don't.
Definitely plan on it. Give him the dates on that real quick, Kenny, so we can.
I'd love to. It's May 19th through the 21st, and it's going to be held in Amsterdam, like you said. And we're going to go to the new football stadium. That's not new.
No, we're not going to do the thing where you try to pronounce the stadium. Not going to happen. Cut. I'm doing an edit point here. No, here's the deal. What happens in Amsterdam stays in Amsterdam. Okay,
so it's quite a place. So I was stationed at Bitburg.
Makes Vegas look like a church social.
Well, you know, I haven't been there in a while, but I remember the first time I went there, I was overwhelmed. I was on a TDY, and we actually played football in Camp New Amsterdam. But when I took my wife up there, we saw these ships coming in, and you see 100 sailors coming off, literally getting paid as they come off the ship, you know, in cash, and they come down the main avenue in mass, and they want to have the best time they can for the next 3 days because they're going to go back on that ship for six more months.
Well, I get it, and you're going to hang out with some of the coolest people on the planet. Like I say, you know, if you know Mad Mike Marston and Johan and the rest of them, the EZIO staff school, but man, we've met so many friggin' cool integrators from around the world, and I think the theme for this year should be that Prince song, Let's Party Like It's 1999. So with that, Kenny, I have one more shout out.
Okay? Cool.
And then we'll end the show. So
already,
quote of the week from one of the brightest guys, a friend of mine and a friend of yours. He's going to be a guest on the show coming up, John Donahue from CCI out of Boston. So John's quote, this is the quote of the week we're going to end the show on, is he apparently are putting analytics packages together for customers that are growing medical marijuana. And his little quote that goes on every one of his analytic packages, we keep your energy costs low so your customers can get high. So well done, JD. Like that. All right, buddy. So with that, that's another week on Control Talk Now, your smart buildings video cast and podcast. Remember, be bold, stay in control, register for the EZIO Global Conference, and be relevant.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smiley. That's a wrap.